Just as soon as the door was closed, the grandmother hastily pulled out some turkey feathers from the bosom of her dress and putting one down on the ground. She asked the girl to lie down on top of it. Then she put one over her, one at her feet, then at her head, and one on either side. And the maiden soon fell asleep. For she was very tired, and the good little grandmother's turkey feathers kept her warm. Now the wind was blowing very hard all night, and it hailed and it snowed, and when she woke in the morning she was under a pile of snow. Just as she became awake, Hahai opened the door and peeked in, thinking that the maiden had frozen to death. But finding her still alive, she was surprised and asked, "How did you rest?" "Very comfortably," said the maiden, and she got up and went out into the kiva room. No sooner had she done this than she was shown to the mata, the place for grinding corn, and instead of corn Hahai came out with a basket full of icicles and put them into the mata for the maiden to grind. The poor maiden felt very cold and unhappy to think she had to grind these icicles, and then she thought of her turkey feathers, and she took one in each hand with which she would hold mata ki, the mano, so that her hands would not get cold. The icicles were very cold and hard to grind, but she had to go on, she had to grind and grind. The icicles were cold and slick and she could not hold them between the two rocks. Every once in a while Hahai would come and take a look to see if she was getting the icicles melted, which she had intended the maiden to do. Now the spider grandmother took a bit of her magic root of an herb and put it in the girl's mouth and asked her to chew it well and then spray it over the icicles. She did this, and no sooner had it touched the icicles than they melted and turned into water in the mata. Now this was the maiden's first test, and when Hahai came again and saw what the bride-to-be had done, she was glad. The maiden continued to do this for 4 days, and she spent 4 nights in the cold room with the north wind. 101. At the end of 4 days she finished her test and it was found that she had won over the Kachanas, so she was married to the youth who had brought her there from Mishongnovi. The grandmother was glad to have been able to serve the Hopi maiden and bring her successfully through her trials. She had put up many jars of water for the Kachanas by grinding the icicles and snow. Now the maiden's wedding robes and many other presents were brought to her, and she was ready to be sent home. Many Kachanas were to go along with her to carry the presents to Mishongnovi, and the bride and bridegroom were dressed in their wedding robes. This day was rather a joyful day for the bride, for she thought of how wonderful the spider grandmother had been and how she had helped her to win. And now she was going back home and taking her husband along. And she was very thankful indeed to the little old woman. On the way back to Mishongnovi at Sunset Crater, the girl stopped just as she had done on the way over and walked away a little to take a rest. But this time she took her little grandmother back to her home, and when they got there they both cried for joy. For the last time the girl thanked her again. The little cloud who detected the couple on their way up to the San Francisco peaks was again hiding in the pines, and he saw everything that took place. Now during these 4 days the parents of the maiden had been very much worried because they did not know where she had gone. So in Mishongnovi this was rather an exciting afternoon for the people to see this girl who had been missing so long coming home with the Kachanas and bringing all kinds of presents. The Kachanas gave all their presents to the villagers and then returned to their home. From this time on the Hopi were very prosperous for a number of years until finally the men of one kiva, and these were the troublemakers of the village, plotted to see how they could break up the happiness of the Kachana youth and the Hopi maiden and win her love away from her husband. These wicked men made a costume exactly like that which the Kachana man wore, and so one day one of these young men dressed up like him and went to see the Kachana's wife. while he was away. On his return, he found that his wife cared for someone else, but she herself did not know that it was another man because of the costume and everything being exactly like her husband. So the Kachina man, without making any further trouble, told his wife that he had to go away to his home in the San Francisco Peaks and back to his own people, and so he did. But as he was leaving, he took one of the longest ears of corn from the stack in the house and carried it back with him to the San Francisco Peaks. 102. 2 years later, a famine came upon the Hopi people. They prayed and prayed for rain and held ceremonies of many kinds, all of which were of no use. No result came from any of them. Finally, Kanaya Kachinas at Sunset Crater felt compassion for the people and took mercy upon them. Now they knew that the Mishongnovi maiden had not been treated fairly, and they knew of all the hard tests that she had had to go through in the kiva of the San Francisco Mountain Kachinas, and they did not think it right for these Kachina people to bring this terrible calamity upon the whole people. The Kanaya Kachinas then took much sweet corn and strung it up with yucca and many other good foodstuffs. They came across the desert to the Hopi villages to make the people happy and to relieve their hunger. Now when they got there, they went dancing through the streets and distributed their sweet corn and food to the people. But they asked the people not to eat everything up that day which they had received, and told them that each family must leave an ear of corn in the corner of their empty storage room. All the people were made happy and glad, so they asked these Kachinas not to go back to their Sunset Crater home, but to live with them always there. But they, being supernatural beings, could not do this, so of their own choice, they went to a little butte which stands by Mishongnovi today, and they opened it up and went in. So that to his day the little butte is called Kanaya Kachinki. Waking up the next morning, to their wonder, the people found that their empty rooms were full of corn, and from then on joy was with the people again. After this, the Kanaya Kachina dance was celebrated every year until 1902. 103. The latter dance at Old Shungpovi. The present Hopi Pueblo of Shungpovi has occupied its present site since about 1700. Previous to that time, the Pueblo straggled over the foothills at the Mesa base. About 100 yards west of this Pueblo, over a sharp ridge, lay the old walled-in spring called Shungopa, the spring that gave the name to the Pueblo, and which went dry in the 1870s at the time of a landslide which caused a local earthquake. About 100 yards south of this spring stands a large boulder, Fig 1. On the top of this boulder can be observed 3 holes in a row, each hole being about 1 foot in diameter and between 1 foot and 2 feet deep, Fig 2. Hopi tradition associates these holes with a Hopi ceremony now extinct called the ladder dance. Figure 1. There was one kiva at Old Shungpovi known as the Ash Pile Kiva. They knew but one dance, and that was called the Coal Kachina dance. This kiva was composed of not well-to-do people. Not having many costumes, all they had to wear for kilts were old dresses discarded by the women. The men in the kiva gave the Coal Kachina dance so often that it grew monotonous to see those Coal Kachinas. So one day they made an announcement that they would give another kind of dance in 4 days. The men in the other kiva said that only some more Coal Kachinas would come into the kiva. About a day after the announcement was made, the boys went out hunting. While they were out, one of the boys got away from the party, and, as he was going around, he jumped a rabbit out of a bush and he chased after it. The rabbit just kept going westward and the boy just kept following it. 104. Well, the rabbit finally got into one of the shrines above Burrow Springs, and the Rabbit went around back of the shrine and the boy thought the rabbit was all in and tired and ready to lay down. When he got around the shrine he saw Akiva. When he looked in he asked if the rabbit had gone in there. The men who were there said yes, and they asked the boy to come in. Figure 2. When he got in there, they sat him down beside the fireplace and gave him a welcome smoke. When he finished that they told him they had sent the rabbit out to get him and bring him there because they were rather sorry that the men in the other kivas made fun of the ash pile kiva. Then they told him they would like to have 2 or 3 of the boys go over to the San Francisco peaks. There they would show them different kinds of kachina dances from which they could choose which of the dances they would have in their kiva. So they asked the boy to go right back home and tell the rest of the men of his kiva. When he came home he went right into the kiva. Well, he told these men what he had seen at the shrine and what news he had been told. He asked the old men to make some prayer offerings which they would take over to the San Francisco peaks to the main Kachina Kiva and said this must be kept secret from the other people who would be expecting to see the Kol Kachina dance again.